Welcome to Sci-Fi in Color, the podcast about science fiction, TV, and film, featuring actors, writers, and directors of color. My name is Maggie.
And I'm Melissa. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at sfincolor@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Tumblr, and Twitter as SF in Color.
Do you have that memorized yet, or are you still reading from the little thingy?
It's kind of both. Like, yeah. It's still always up when I do it, so I can't help but my eyes glance to it, but I don't think I need it anymore. It's just kind of like a crutch I want.
Yeah, I understand. That's like me driving to work now. Like, I have the GPS on, but I already know all the, like, turns, more or less. Also, you have more to say than I do, so, like, it's kind of harder to memorize.
It's really not.
Anyway, aside, so, today, we're talking about the 1996 movie, I want to say.
Yes.
I want to say it's 96.
It is 96. 96
movie, Independence Day.
Whoa.
Allegedly starring Will Smith.
Allegedly.
I do not think it really starred him that much, but he gets top billing in this movie for some reason.
I did notice that.
Yeah. Not gonna lie, when I was watching it this morning, I was like, where's Will Smith? Isn't this supposed to be, like, sci-fi in color? Where is our lead man of color? Where is he? And then I was watching it on DVD, as I do, and I noticed the time code when he finally shows up is, like, 21 minutes into the film. And I
wrote,
like,
it down, too.
Yo,
no,
right?
I have, okay. Like, on my notes, I'm like, 15 minutes in, where Will? 22 minutes in, Will.
Yeah, I was literally like, maybe we should do a different movie. I was going to call you this morning and be like, maybe we should do a different movie.
I was calling.
I don't know. Yeah, and then I was like, we gotta record this today, I gotta edit it tonight, we gotta get it out tomorrow because we don't have a buffer anymore. So I was just like, oh dear. So yeah, we're actually recording, like, instead of, like, you listening to a recording of us from, like, 3 months ago, this is, like, actually happening, like, right now, September 24th or whatever.
Live and living.
So we are actually, like in the present day-ish or present week-ish.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I was just like, where's Will Smith? Did I get the right movie or something? Like, what is going on?
The thought actually occurred to me, too, that I was like, is this a wrong version? Is this not right? Cause
should we maybe pick something else? Yo, we should have done Men in Black.
Yeah.
We should have done Men in Black.
Next time.
But that's okay. Another time. I don't know if doing, like, two Will Smith movies back-to-back is, like, too much.
I think it probably is.
He has been in a lot of sci-fi films, so, like,
it's an entire genre in and of itself.
The Will Smith genre.
Yes.
I think we'll be seeing Mr. Smith again soon.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was just like, where is our POC? Because we need the POC to talk about this film. I mean, to be fair, I think the first person we see on screen is an Asian dude. But, like, we never get back to him. He's nameless. He plays golf or whatever while watching SETI or... Yo, can I say, it really bothered me when they were like, S-E-T-I. I was like, just call it SETI. Why are you saying S-E-T-I for? Freaking nerds. No, but seriously, like, that's like saying N-A-S-A. Just call it NASA. Like, it's so simple. But anyway.
What did you think about it?
Well, I think you may understand from my tone, but, like, I was... like, very unimpressed. Like, it wasn't a bad movie, but it just wasn't... like, I feel like it's been hyped up a lot. Maybe because it is an older film and, you know, like, we were, like, 3 when it came out or whatever. So, I don't know. I feel like I heard good things about it. And it's, like... what, didn't the sequel come out, like, a couple months ago or
it
something?
Did.
Resurgence or whatever?
Yeah, it didn't get very good reviews.
Right. And so, I mean, like... I assume that because people talked about it a lot, people still remember it from 96 and all that, like, it must have been, like, a decent movie. And it was, like, okay, but it was just, like, aggressively mediocre. I was just, like...
aggressively mediocre. That's
very
nice.
Was, like, not... I was, like, so not invested. Like, it was kind of a snooze fest for me. Like, I didn't get much sleep last night, and then I didn't sleep during the movie, but I was just like, man, I was drifting. I was, like, looking stuff up on, like, Internet Movie Database towards, like, the tail end of it, trying to figure out who was who and stuff. Like, it was a... Yeah. I have many, there are some things I do like about the film, like, small things, but I do mention more in depth, like, why I'm not, like, totally taken with, like, certain parts of the movie. So we can go more in depth about that. I think, yeah, overall, it's, like, it's alright. But I wasn't crazy about it. And I think, I don't know if it's, like, the Seinfeld problem, where it's, like, someone does something for the first time, and then everyone, like, it's like, oh, this is so good. And then, like, everyone copies it. So, like, when, I guess, the newer generation see the original or first or old one, they're like, wow, this is really boring, when at the time it was, like, more revolutionary.
I think that is a huge part of the problem.
Yeah, you know? I think that might be why I was just, like, so, like, eh about it. Because I feel like when it came out, it was a lot more exciting and groundbreaking or different. But now it just seems like a lot of films have copied it, or some, like, formula of it. And so I'm just kind of like, eh, you know. And Seinfeld has suffered that same thing, where, like, at the time it was, like, very different, but then, like, pretty much every sitcom ever just copied Seinfeld. And now it's like, oh, Seinfeld's not funny. But, like, it was different and funny when it came out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of my general gist of it. Don't really like this movie. It wasn't bad, it was like, eh. But maybe that's because of the Seinfeld effect. So, I don't know, what did you think?
I had a much more positive view of it than you did. There are a lot of pieces of it that I enjoyed, and I was, you know, entertained throughout the whole thing. I was a little sad that Will Smith wasn't really the lead. He was just kind of, I wouldn't call him in the ensemble, because it seems like there was, like, three main characters. Right. So that part was a little disappointing, but beyond that, I mean, Independence Day kind of changed the summer blockbuster game, and I can respect that. It was...
Yeah, I wonder if you could talk more about that, because I didn't really look into... I didn't do too much research on, like, other-ish surrounding the movie, like, you know, how it did with summer blockbuster numbers and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, we can get into it more later, but I think one of the things that I enjoyed most about this film was just, like, how 90s it was.
Oh, Lord.
It so was 90s.
I feel like, what is it? I feel like the Terminator movies were much more 90s than this film, but it still had, I mean, like, it's gonna show, I mean, like, it's gonna reflect what era. It has to. Like, there's no way it can't, you know? I'm sure, you know, like, I'm thinking about movies that have come out recently, and, like, they seem fine to me, but I'm sure if I watch them in, like, 10, 20 years, I'm, like, gonna be, wow, that's, like, really dated. Okay. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's weird. I kept thinking about this last night when I was watching it, because this movie is 20 years old this year. You know?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. It's a... wow.
It's called Math Children.
Okay, well, I haven't taken math in years, but, there's an annoying motorcycle sound from, like, 95 or whatever. Anyway, back to what I was saying. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, like, the whole 20-year thing, like, I knew it was in the 90s, but, like, honestly, it compared to some other 90s films, it didn't age too badly.
No.
You know?
No, it was kind of funny, because I was, like, looking at some of the fashion, and I was like, some of this is cool now.
Oh, you know, don't you know it, like, runs in, like, 20-year cycles?
Yeah, exactly.
Because we're, like, lame and boring and repetitive, and we, like, don't like change.
I guess so.
Anyway. Yeah, so you thought it was, like, a good film?
I don't know if I'd go that far. It was hard, because I appreciate what it is. In a way, But at the same time, it was kind of formulaic and predictable.
And it was so long.
It was so long. That one I will give you.
It was so long.
Way too long. For basically an extremely simple plot.
You could have reduced it down by so much.
And, like, just, I mean, you have a cast of characters, which is relatively large, but you have so many unneeded scenes in there. It was painful.
Like, oh, did we really need to see, like, Jasmine and her in her workspace, or like see her talk to that girl and see that girl on the rooftop? Did we really need that? No.
Oh yeah.
No, we did not.
No, we did
not. You already forgot about it. You saw it last night. Like, I just saw it like an hour or two ago. Like, so much unnecessary content.
It was because I remember vision.
I the vision.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I remember
vision.
Jesus. Because I remember I got the DVD and then I looked up the runtime. I looked for the runtime on the back.
And then
and
you cried.
Like, and then I was like, oh, wait, what? I just had like a long, hard weekend. I want like a nice movie. It's like nice and short. How is 2 hours? So it says like 2 hours, 33 minutes. But that's including credits and stuff, you know? But like, still, I was like, what? Is this like some weird director's cut that I got on DVD? But like, no, I googled it and it is 2 hours, 33 minutes with the credits. And I was like, which is basically 2 hours, 15 minutes, like without the credits. And I was still like, that's like way too long.
Yeah.
Like, no.
It's 144 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's too much. Don't make me care that much.
That's my big problem with the film. Like, I just didn't care about the characters. I really didn't. I was not invested at all.
Like, I watched this movie on my laptop, which is not a huge screen, and a lot of times when I watch something before we podcast about it, I'll watch it in a smaller kind of screen on my laptop so I can take notes at the same time, because otherwise I will remember literally nothing.
Yeah.
So I watch it on this tiny little screen on my laptop, and
oh, good luck, it's shot in anamorphic. It's like super super skinny.
Yeah. It's the kind of movie that if I had watched it in 1996 in a movie theater, I would walk out.
When you were three. When you were three.
Assuming I was old enough to understand anything, I would have liked it better.
Sure.
I mean, not just because in the 90s, but watching on a big screen, kind of in a movie theater, I think it would hold up better.
It's a very different experience.
Yeah, I mean, I love going to the movies, but I've not gone to the movies in such a long time because I'm...
Yeah, I always think, like, and I may have mentioned this before on previous podcast episodes, but I always think, like, it's almost infinitely better most of the time to, like, watch something on a big screen in a proper, like, theater or something.
Yeah.
Because you get the full experience. You get the surround sound. Like, if something big is happening, like, you feel it. Like, you feel the bass... And, like, the emotion of it. It's just, like, it's just more intense. So, like, I feel like watching movies on, like, your phone screen is, like, that's all right. But, like, you don't get the same effect, you know?
Yeah.
I definitely felt that when I saw Beast of the Southern Wilds, I saw that on a big screen. And I was like, wow, this movie was amazing. And it would not have had the same effect on me if I watched it on my phone screen. Like, it would have been just, like, whatever. But yeah, like, I can see why this was a big blockbuster at the time. I just didn't care for it, man.
I mean, yeah. I wouldn't say that we're in the post-blockbuster era, because we're obviously not. We still...
No.
We get a bajillion a summer. But I feel like a lot of the most successful ones are the ones that are almost, like... How do I put this? It's almost like postmodern. It's like extremely aware.
Oh, did I make a look? I meant like, oh yeah, postmodernism. Like, that's like everyone's thing now.
Like, there, it's like
it is.
it's like the movies are aware of exactly what they are, and then they can kind of travel around in the genre knowing that it's there.
We like meta-ness.
Or at I least love whatever. It. I can't get
this,
enough
this,
of it.
This generation likes meta-ness and awareness. Like, I mean, look at Deadpool.
I know, right?
Like, come on.
I actually haven't seen Deadpool I didn't watch yet, it. And I really want
no,
to.
No, I haven't seen it. I don't know if I want to. I mean, maybe. But whatever. Like, Deadpool is, like, the epitome of, like, postmodern, self-aware, like, breaking the fourth wall and all this. And, you know, like.
Yeah.
You know. So. And I took a whole class of postmodern literature. I, like, barely remember anything from it. But, like, we read in a lot of awesome books. So, that was cool. But, yeah, like, I don't know. I guess we could just start with the chronologically and go through the movie
yeah,
that way.
I mean, when we talk about movies generally, I generally have, like, a lot of things to say. And I have pages of notes and all these points I want to get across. But a lot of them... I really don't have as much to say. I don't think we'll be going as long. There's just, it's a very, when you get down
simple
to it, it's
plot.
A simple movie. And there's really yeah. not much to talk about.
Yeah. I mean, I, for one, I have a lot of, like, little notes about, like, stupid stuff. And, like, I just get increasingly snarkier and snarkier. as, like,
then I look forward to that.
Because I just was, like, I was, like, super done with this. But then again, guys, I've had, like, a pretty long week. I've had a pretty tiring week, so maybe I'm just, like, super jaded from that. I don't know. But, yeah, let's see. So, first, I talked about how we start off with, like, a POC, I guess. But he's not, like, a... He's just, like, a throwaway character. Playing golf, doing his thing, or whatever.
I wanted to come back to him because he seemed like he had a fun time.
Yeah, doing golf, probably an intern or something. Checking out the sounds from space or whatever. Like,
I could do that.
He'd be living the life. Yeah. I mean, I kind of wish we got back to him, but whatever. I guess not. It's like the one Asian in the film. yeah. But yeah, of course he's a nerd and, like, you know. But come on, guys. Like,
break your stereotypes.
At least he wasn't, like, I don't know, a complete stereotype with, like, horrible teeth and horrible accent or whatever. So I guess it was okay. But yeah, I don't know. I hated the title sequence. It annoyed me. With, like, the stupid titles coming out and being, like, dumb. Like, it wasn't like Hans Zimmer, like, Inception, but, like, it was just, like, this weird, like, breaking sound effect noise thing, and I was, like, super not into it. And I was like, these titles are horrible.
I didn't mind that part of the film, but... You know what drove me crazy is when they had the date
July?
Come up. Yeah.
Yeah.
When the date came up. It was
yeah.
just like, why did you need to do, like, there was no need to do that.
And they skipped July 3rd.
No, they didn't.
Oh, did I just zone out during
you
that
must
one?
Have. Moment? So, like, my note is okay. July 3rd, .. Okay, cool story. Like, there was no need for that to happen.
Yeah. They just really wanted to be like, it's July 4th, guys. Like, they really wanted us to know that. And it was, like, too
much. We already knew that.
Yeah. I just gotta say, like, I know I should realize that this podcast is not about, like, reviewing good movies all the time. So I guess it's nice to talk about movies that, like, I'm not, like, super, super, like, fond of for once. I feel like I'm, like, pretty enthusiastic about most things we review. I mean, I know, like, Badlands was kind of, like, a mixed bag, but, like, you know.
I enjoyed, like, hating it.
Like, it was, it had its, yeah, it had, like, its good moments, but then it also was kind of like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I wasn't crazy about the title sequence. I mean, I've seen better ones. Like, just go watch Psycho. Just the title sequence of Psycho is cool, and they do a little date thing, but they don't do it every time, and, like, it's all good, you know? I had a little side about Psycho, but I'm just gonna not mention it here, because it's not relevant. also, I really want to, like, I want this to be a short episode, because I gotta edit this today, so let me not go off on rambling tangents.
Okay. one thing that I had to do when I watched this movie is I had to turn the brightness on my laptop all the way up because it maybe it was just the beginning part of the movie, but it was dark. And I do keep my brightness all the way down just because I'm weird, but I could not see anything, and I had to turn it all the way up. I was like,
yeah, I'm the opposite. I keep my thing, like, to the brightest setting, which is probably not good for, like, battery reasons,
it's
but whatever.
It's blinding. I can't deal with that.
I need my visuals to be good, man. Also, I'm, like, pretty much, I'm pretty much blind anyway, so, but yeah, like, I don't know. I mean, I guess it was dark because, like, they're in space a lot of the time, but, like, I didn't have any particular problems. My problem was that I was watching it this morning and I had a lot of glare when I was trying to watch it, so whatever. But yeah, I don't know. I guess when you to go back to your little thing about 90s isms, like just seeing them in like the SETI like lab or whatever and seeing that like big tape deck thing rolling, I was like, oh man, we are in the 90s. It's like the first, it's not the first shot of the film, but it's, like, the first shot we have on Earth, and I was like, yep.
Yep.
90s all the way, baby.
I kept trying to make note of all the different 90s things as I was watching. I think I gave up at some point, but...
Yeah.
It's weird because of our age, we recognize a whole bunch of it, but...
But we also don't. Hmm? But we also, like, we miss out on all, like...
Yeah.
I feel like we miss out on, like, the first half of the 90s, basically. Actually, no. Scratch that. I mean, I was in kindergarten in 98, so, like, basically, even though we were born in the 90s, we didn't really, like, experience
right, exactly.
The
90s. It's weird because we, as 90s children, I feel nostalgia yeah. for a time that I don't remember particularly well. There are pieces of it that, like, I was like, oh, like, I was looking at the computers, and I was like, these things are huge. I definitely use things just like this.
Right.
And, you know, various other things, but...
We were at, like, a weird turning point in terms of, like, the decades, I feel. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
I can see that.
Like, we kind of transitioned from...
Well, everyone knows the 90s ended in, like, 2002 anyway, so...
Yeah, but that's what I mean. We were yeah. at, like, a weird transition point. Because, like, I know people who are, like, only, like, a couple years older than me, and they're... how do I put it? It's not that they're not as tech savvy, they're just, like... TV and cable was more their yeah. culture, but yeah. I feel like I'm only a couple years younger than them, but I'm more internet, like that's where I get most of my culture and like I don't know, pop culture and information, you know what I mean? Like
yeah,
someone was talking to me about like Tim and Eric and I was like, I don't know who that is, but like they were really big on TV back in 90 whatever or like early 2000s, so I was like, I don't know any of those people. But yeah, I don't know. So, like, the again, getting back to the movie, like, I feel like it got very heavy-handed at times, especially with that, like, Statue of Liberty thing, and it, like, has July 4th on the book, and I was like, oh my god, guys, can we not?
I had the same
thought. Yeah, I'm glad we're having the same thoughts. Like, can we not? But hold on. It also kind of, like, it reminded me of something. I was like, huh, what is this? And before I started talking with you this morning, I did a little preliminary like background research on the film. The guy who directed this film, I need to pull up his name. He's like this German dude. Let me see. Roland Emmerich, whatever.
Emmerich, probably.
Probably Emmerich. He directed The Day After Tomorrow, which has that Statue of Liberty scene too. So I was like, oh, yeah, I could see it. I see it now. You're that guy.
He directed a lot of disaster movies.
Yeah, it's like his thing.
Yeah.
So I feel like I remember liking Day After Tomorrow and watching it multiple times. But then again, there's no accounting for taste when you're a child. So, like, I'm about to go in on this podcast. Like, let me tell you.
Okay, good. For being,
but I mean, it's not all bad. I just really want to go in on this podcast.
Okay, I mean,
I'm not gonna hold back.
For being such a long movie, they started like immediately. Like,
yeah.
My third note is, oh, we're starting right away, are we?
No build up.
Like, oh, they're coming.
You already know.
They're here. Huzzah! Hello, frog.
Yeah,
shout
Frog
out to
is
my
here.
Dog, Frog.
I think they know by now your frog's name. Your dog's name. Because he's been in this podcast quite a bit.
He's kind of the third star. He's the third star.
Yeah. I can't remember how many times I've cut his audio from our audio, but I think he's made it in a couple times.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess I didn't really think about it that way, but it's true. The director was talking about how he wanted to see a sci-fi film where the aliens don't, like, hide and wait before they attack. They just, like, attack.
Yeah.
So that is different than, I guess, like, some of the older conventions. I have to give him credit for that, you know?
Yeah. I feel like some of the conventions are conventions for a reason.
Suspense is, like, exciting.
I was about to say that I would have appreciated some, like, character build-up, but that's not what this movie is about. And
no, not at all.
Honestly, we don't need this film to be any longer. Like, don't do it.
Nope.
So, I'm not going to complain about that. You know what? Let's just move on.
Yep. I wrote Jeff Goldblum, ! Because, like, I guess I didn't really expect to see him in this one, but I feel like he was very, like, prominent in the 90s. Or at least, you know, I just remember him from Jurassic Park. That's really all I know him for.
He had his moments.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever actually seen him in anything before. I've actually never seen Jurassic Park. Don't shoot me.
Not even, like, little clips?
I mean, tiny little clips.
I'm sure you've seen that gif or that picture rolling around. The one where he's, like, lying on his side with his shirt off or whatever. I think that's from Jurassic Park, too. Like, Jurassic Park, the movie, not Jurassic Park, the second movie. Jurassic Park.
I don't know.
I know it's around. Maybe I'll throw in the show notes. But yeah, I wasn't expecting him. But then I was like, oh, yeah, it's a 90s film. Like, we're going to see a ton of, like, 90s
people.
Yeah, because, like, some people. But do you know what I mean? Like, some people, like, peak in specific decades.
Yeah.
You know? Will Smith apparently never ages because he literally looks the same. Black don't crack. he does look younger, yeah, but like he basically looks the same. And I was like, oh wow, you don't age.
He looks really good. Like, you know, he doesn't look good now, but like he looks older now. Not a lot older, maybe not 20 years older.
It was like he was in his prime.
That, yeah. He was. I appreciated that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, one of the things that I really enjoyed about this movie is the politics. I think
you would.
I mean, obviously, we don't really get into it very much. Yeah. But having one of your main characters be the president of the United States, like, it happens. And
sure.
I think probably because this particular election cycle is so unusual.
Cuckoo bananas. Cuckoo bananas.
That too. I appreciated it more, I think.
To have like a level-headed person at the helm.
Yeah.
Ish. Well, I don't know if I call him level-headed, but like, sure, let's go with that.
Yeah.
More level-headed than like.
Because like in the very beginning, like they're talking about how like he's like a righteous politician, whatever, blah blah blah.
His approval numbers.
Yeah, and I was like, dude. Come be our president.
I really didn't like the president character. I think it was, but mainly I think it's of the his like diction or the way he spoke, really annoyed me. His voice, like I just didn't like his voice.
I
don't know. Just
I
really
don't know what exactly
me.
About it. It exactly was, but when he looked a certain way, like with a certain angle, he reminded me of like a really handsome Ted Cruz. And it just kept throwing me out of the film. I was like, oh my god, what? Stop it.
I
can't describe it exactly. And I'm sure people will be like, you're crazy, this makes no sense. But I couldn't unsee it. And
I could kind of see it, yeah. From a certain angle, yeah, I see what you mean.
I mean, from a lot of angles, no, but the reason the president character annoyed me, essentially, is because he was just America. Like, you know how Captain America is America? This guy's also America. Like,
Merca.
Every trait he had was so, was just American.
Ugh.
He embodied, like, the independent cowboy that, like, America holds up as our, like, national symbol. It was,
yeah,
disgustingly American. Like, it was dripping American. It, they tracked American all over my house.
Yeah, I just, yeah, I'm gonna have to agree with you on that. I actually was thinking, like, when is the last time we had a president that was actually in the military?
It's been a little while.
It's been a while, hasn't it? Yeah. Because when he was like, I'm a pilot, that's who I am. I was like,
calm down. Calm the F down.
But yeah, like, chill out, dude. But yeah, like, I don't know. I guess that wasn't my first reaction to be like, calm down. My reaction was more like, oh yeah, like, when is the last time we had a president? Like, a real one, not a fictional one who was in the military. Because, like, they're the head of state and, like,
the commander-in-chief, yeah.
They're the commander-in-chief. Like, it kind of makes sense for the president to have been in the military, but I don't think that's happened in a long time. Are you Googling it?
I am. I mean, it depends what you count as. George Bush was in the military. Stateside service as a pilot in the Vietnam War. Received early discharge in 1973. I kind of forgot.
Is this George W. Bush?
What?
This is George W. Bush?
Yes. Bill Clinton wasn't. Okay. Obama wasn't. Bush, the first Bush was as well. Navy pilot.
Who was the guy before? Who was the dude before the first Bush?
What?
Who was the guy before the first Bush?
Ronald Reagan?
Oh, right, and he was an actor, right? But I can't remember if he was in the military.
He was.
Okay. So it's just been the recent Democratic candidates have not been in the military.
Correct. Oh, if you go far back, Franklin Roosevelt, no. Herbert Hoover, no. Calvin Coolidge, no. Warren Harding, no. Woodrow Wilson, no. William Howard Taft was in the Connecticut Home Guard, but I don't know if that really counts.
Right. I just think it's interesting to think about, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to be in the military to be president, obviously, but, like, it kind of makes sense that you would be. So, like, it's cool to see a commander-in-chief doing, like, commandery or military things, you know?
Commandery?
Yeah, it's not really commandery, but
I feel like that moment where he was like, I'm gonna pilot, would have
I was like, okay. That's when I was like, all right,
meaningful if
dude.
We, like, knew he was a pilot knew. Before that moment.
They kept, like, weirdly dropping hints, you know? But, like, no. They never, like, straight out said that.
Okay.
They kept alluding to, like, him being some kind of young gun, like, I don't know, like, brave, whatever, personality. But they never, like, actually straight out said, oh, he was, like, in the military before or something.
I don't know.
Which was annoying, because they could have just said that, but
yeah. And even, I don't know, maybe I should clarify that even if they'd said that, it still wouldn't have been that great. Like, it had to have meaning before that. Like,
yeah, show, don't tell.
Whatever.
But you know what I mean? Like, if they had showed it, yeah. Instead of, yeah. Like, can we... Okay, so, like, this is just to do with both Will Smith and the president's character. Let me find exactly what I wrote down, because I need to say it. I really want to find the line that I wrote. Sorry, it's taking forever. I have, like, so many... I have, like, a mini notebook, so, like, the pages are everywhere.
Well, while you do come that, on.
Yeah.
I wrote...
You speak.
20 years old, and... That they, what are all the characters' names? Whatever, it doesn't matter. He ties his, sweatshirt around his waist, like, unironically.
Oh, yeah!
And then, like, immediately after that, there's an X-Files reference, and I'm like, oh my god. Calm down.
Oh, I did like the X-Files reference, and I did, like, notice the, like, the... I didn't notice the unironic, like, sweatshirt.
And, like, you can do that style. If you're walking to the gym. Like, I'm not going to hate on you. And you can, and I feel like women can still kind of do that in public, and it's not as big of a deal. But, like, it's not cool anymore.
It's such a dad thing.
And, yeah, it's, oh, God.
Okay, so apparently I didn't write it down. Maybe I just said it in my head and just, like, thought I wrote it. I was so sure I wrote it down.
I bet you'll find it at some point.
Yeah, whatever. But essentially, so this has to do with both Will Smith and the president. But I was just thinking, like, using children is such a cheap way to, like, try to get us emotionally invested. And I also was still not emotionally invested at all. Like, I thought Will Smith's, like, son in the movie was, like, super cute. But, like, I just didn't care for, like, anyone. I wasn't invested at all. And they were trying to make us invested through kids, which is, like, the cheapest way to do it.
They did.
And everyone does it. But, like, it was just, like, particularly, like, egregious this time around.
I definitely noticed that. And they brought out all of the little funky tricks to try and make you care about them without actually giving a good plot or characterization.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe I'm just more susceptible to cute children because I liked the children in the film. Like, I knew I was being played, but I couldn't help it because they're cute. And what am I supposed to do?
Congratulations, you played yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
I just wanted to see that into the podcast because I read it yesterday and I was like, oh yeah, that good old meme.
I missed that meme.
I want to bring it back. I don't even know if, like, when it started, but
that's a good quality meme. Vintage meme.
It's only been a couple months old. How is it vintage already? But yeah, like, to go back to chronological order, that I really like that shot of David, aka Jeff Goldblum's character. David, like, rides his bicycle past those gigantic screens in, I guess, the TV station or cable room or whatever. He rides his bike past the screens. It's, like, the first time he goes into the office.
Yeah.
And it was so good. I really like that. Anything with, like, mad screens in the background is, like, usually pretty good already. So... Sorry, I have, like, a weird cough going on. But yeah, I really enjoyed that shot. And there was a couple other shots I wrote down that I really liked. Let's see. Oh, there was, like, a Day the Earth Stood Still reference. I believe that was a 1950s movie that was playing in black and white on the TV screen.
Oh.
I think this was when the three kids of that drunken crop duster guy were watching TV in their trailer.
Okay.
I think that's when this happened. Yeah, because the kid was trying to, like, hit the TV so it would, like, you know, stop, you know, getting stuck in that one picture. And his older brother yelled at him. Day the Earth Stood Still. I watched that in cinema class for my sci-fi class, obviously. And it was very 50s. It was very, like, it had something to do with Independence Day. But it was more like this alien comes to Earth and is like, let me see if we should, I think it was like a first contact story, sort of. It was more like this alien trying to determine whether or not, like, humanity was, like, good enough or bad enough to, like, I'm, like, forgetting most of it, but it, like, the main theme that I came away with at the end of it was, like, kind of, like, this alien society is, like, super heavily policed. If anyone does anything morally wrong, they're, like, killed or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, this dude, this alien guy, like, trying to figure out, like, I can't remember if he was, like, coming to Earth to be, like, we're instituting this, or if he was just, like, you're not worthy of joining us. It was, like, one of those two. So I was like, oh, I get that reference. I feel super cool. Because, like, prior to my film class, I had never seen it before. I mean, I've heard of it. But, yeah, it doesn't really have anything to do with Independence Day when I think about it. So I'm just kind of like, I guess it was a cool shout-out, but, like... Ultimately, I feel like it would have been stronger if the movie had been some kind of weird reflection or juxtaposition of the themes that were in that 50s film. If that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes
sense. And maybe it was, and I just didn't grasp that.
I don't think so.
I don't think it was. It's like a mediocre blockbuster with, like, not much characterization going on. Although I got plenty to say about the characters, let me tell you. I don't know, what did you think about the like the beginning scene where we're kind of meeting everyone?
I wrote, this is what I wrote. So many characters, holy ish, also space. Like,
yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of characters, and although many of them become important, there's just too many.
It's too much.
Like, it's all over the place. Did the crop duster character need to have 3 kids? I highly doubt that.
No, he did not.
Did the girl need to have that very weird boyfriend character? No,
it was like, oh, the world's ending. Do you want to die a virgin or something? Yeah. Like, okay, unnecessary. Like, to the extreme.
Give me a
scalpel. Was that, like,
cheap
laughs or something? Like, I don't understand. Like, there was that. I didn't, like, laugh that much during this film, and I feel like it was supposed to be because it's a blockbuster, but, like, I just was like.
I think all of my laughs came from Will Smith.
Yeah, like, pretty much. But then even he is, like, put into that, like, sassy black friend trope or whatever, or like sassy black comic relief character trope.
Yeah,
like,
well, I mean, you know, this movie lived and died by its tropes, if you can say anything about it. Like,
yep.
The characters were mostly not characters, they were just literally tropes.
They were empty shells of human beings.
Yes, I mean, it's not always a bad thing to do. I mean, like, yeah, relying on stereotypes is bad, but like having like a certain mold of a character, because like I was thinking about this last night after I finished it, like tropes are basically like humans like shorthand.
Yeah, it's storytelling devices, and we've talked about this before.
Yeah, and I was like, it's just like a code being like,
yeah,
please, like A376, that means, and you go to your little code cheat sheet and you and you say, oh, this character is this and this and this, and they never have to say that, they just put the code. Maybe that's
right
what humanity is coming to. But
oh lordy. But yeah, just, no, that's definitely, it's a shorthand, because I mean, this movie is a little bit longer than
most,
but you're supposed to be able to, like, in an hour and a half or 2 hours or whatever, tell a story, a cohesive one. I don't think this story was, like, super cohesive or whatever. This is tell a cohesive story. And, like, so, like, tropes, like, you don't want to spend, like, a ton of time on backstory, so, like, tropes are very convenient. Just be hooker with a heart of gold. There you go. We know who this person is. Cool. We don't have to, like, explore her backstory too much more, you know?
Yeah.
I get it, but, like, these characters weren't even, like, they just were, like, I did not care about any of these characters, like, at all.
I liked the kids. They were cute. I think, I don't know, I guess I spent a lot of this movie just imagining this movie if Donald Trump was president, which,
oh, Lord.
I don't want to be all political or anything, but, like, that was freaking hilarious.
Oh, God. Can you imagine how much more worse it would be? Jesus. Speaking of America, I wrote down, why does only America care? This is a worldwide problem. But I guess it's just, like, the scope of the film is going to focus more on, like, what's happening in the U.S. because, like, clearly other countries aren't important enough.
I mean,
typical America-centric mindset.
I guess, I mean, every country has that. But
yeah, but, like, you see that in all sorts of sci-fi movies, too, don't you? Like, oh, they're attacking New York or,
well,
or
a lot
LA
of movies,
or DC or whatever.
A lot of movies that, at least the ones that I watch, are American.
Right.
It is funny when
America always saves the day.
Like, when I watch, like, TV shows from another country, and all of a sudden, like, their epicenter, like, all of the stories, like, somehow, you know, involve that particular country. I'm just like,
right, like Seoul or London or something.
Yeah, whatever it is. I don't know. They tried really hard to make this, like, a worldwide scope. In, like,
I don't think they tried really hard.
Okay.
They tried a little
they
bit.
They made a passing effort by having scenes of random people all over the world being like, whoa.
Ugh.
That was...
I could even say, like, The Day the Earth Stood Still did internationalism better than this film. And that film was in the 50s.
Like, yeah, this one for didn't do very real. Well.
Literally, the black and white film that they referenced did a better job of representing, like, world peoples than, like, this one. So, yeah. But, yeah, sorry. I cut you off.
No, that was about it.
Yeah, I don't... I mean, I know we cut to, like, Iraq and, like, different places, but I was just, like... This is stupid. Like, they're only talking amongst themselves about what can we do, us Americans, and what the IDF and, like, the other people, like, the Palestinians are, like, just, like, waiting on the side for, like, to hear. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that one random scene when you get, like, those British people.
No.
And it wasn't it, what?
Yeah, I know, I'm listening.
Yeah. Like, they were just, like, waiting. They were like, oh, finally, the Americans are, like, going to give us orders and ish.
Well, so that's,
like,
not exactly what happened. In their defense, it was more like nobody knows what to do, and then the genius American MIT dude is like, I have a plan, and
he's like reverse Will Hunting.
Okay.
Or maybe not. No, that's probably not that's probably a bad metaphor. Scratch that. But yeah, like, okay, let's go to Jeff Goldblum for our genius plan, right?
Yeah.
Like,
you know, we can rely on him. I will say, maybe I don't really watch a lot of, like, apocalyptic movies, or I don't really get into that genre very much. I find it extremely depressing.
Terminator did it better.
What?
Terminator did it better.
Okay, well, I'll take your word for that. But all the, like, in the, especially in the beginning, they had all these little scenes which were, like, all over the world, and everyone was freaking out, and it kind of reminded me of, like, World War Z. I didn't watch the movie, but it reminded me of the book in that you're seeing, like, these really short scenes with characters you literally do not care about, but, like...
I was invested in World War Z characters.
I like World War Z, too, but, like, the whole book... like, got you invested, I think, more in the plot in general, because the characters weren't particularly, like, most of them weren't really that recurring. It has been a while since I read it, but
that book made me cry. Books, it's, like, easy for a movie to make me cry, but, like, books, like, if a book makes me cry, like, that's some, like, deep stuff right there, like, for serious.
I don't cry at a lot of books. But, like...
It's not hard, yeah. I'm more, like, a visual, like, images kind of person, but...
Yeah.
If a book makes me cry, it makes me, like, feel a certain way, I'm just like, dang, that was some good writing right there. Like, it really got to me.
I cried last night about... I was watching some video. I don't remember what it was. Anyway.
Okay, cool story, bro. Tell it again. But yeah, I'm trying to think.
I like how all the aliens knew which cities were the most strategically important cities. I was like, okay, good research job, aliens.
Right? Like, I wish we got more about the aliens. Like, I was kind of thinking about, I know Pacific Rim has been compared to Independence Day for, like, a couple reasons. Like, the big speech that the president gives has been compared to Staggered Pentecost speech to his crew, and, you know, some other things I can kind of see correlations to. But, like, at least with Pacific Rim, we kind of got, like, oh, like, we kind of get why the aliens are coming, but also we get a little bit more interesting, like, oh, like, they're weird, like, clone, like, drone things sent in, like, I don't know. It's just kind of, maybe I'm asking too much for, like, a simple blockbuster sci-fi thing, but, like, sometimes I just kind of want to see what's going on the other side, even just for a little bit. I like a complex villain. I know that's not, I know, again, it's, like, a genre thing. Like, sometimes if you just want to just get to, like, I only care about the hero or our people's side, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I get that. But, like, I personally, I find it more interesting to see the other side. Even if it's a little bit deranged, it doesn't make any sense. Like, I'm like, at least I know you're crazy. Like, you know?
For me...
And, like, I didn't... Yeah.
I think it's more of a genre thing, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, this movie, Independence Day, is a lot about the explosions, and it's more of a reflection on humanity, and it's not that sci-fi. I mean, yes, there are aliens.
It's more disaster-y.
Yeah, but it's not really a sci-fi movie, which I think is another
it's
reason
weird,
when I was watching, I was like, I really don't know what we're going to talk about, because It's really...
Where's the science? There's, like, one science thing. Like, the freaking, let's put a computer virus into their, like, software. Which I will go into because I think I'm dumb.
Oh, but... yeah. People make fun of that a lot. Especially because, like, looking back, like, this is the 90s computer virus. Like,
oh,
this is
Lord.
Supposedly an extremely high technological, like, alien race. And they get defeated by a 90s computer virus.
Yeah.
But, anyway... Okay, it's like, the movie has, like, three main characters, I would say.
Sure.
We've got, like, Will Smith, the president, and who I refer to as J.J. Abrams.
Jeff?
Yes.
Goldblum? His character's name was David.
I did not figure that out.
I wrote that the first moment I saw him appear on screen and they said his name, I wrote it down because I knew I was going to forget. Also, but he refers to himself as Dave because this was his computer. Says this is like welcome Dave or something, but like everyone calls him David, so whatever loser.
I called him JJ Abrams because I don't know, I'm really bad with faces.
You don't look like JJ.
I think it sort of he looked like JJ Abrams.
I mean, insofar as like dude looked Jewish, but like that's pretty much as far as you can go, you self racist or whatever. I'm just kidding. This film. I don't know. I have another shot that I liked was in New York City when everyone's kind of like freaking out and having that police horse panic.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just really liked that. It was like a small little detail, but I enjoyed. Because like it's kind of, I don't know. I feel like at this point I've seen enough like disaster films or like films where like everyone's in the streets panicking. Like, let's just throw a horse in there, mix it up, make it interesting, like have some kind of animalistic fear or whatever. That was like a completely random aside, but like, I don't know. I like weird little touches like that.
Well, here's
speaking
a
of which,
yeah, go on. Little aside, I really liked the dog with the shoe in the beginning because that's my dog.
I thought it was completely unnecessary, but totally expected that they would try to save the dog. No, that they would try, like, the, what's her name? Jasmine was, like, trying to save the dog last minute and he made it. I was like, of course. This freaking film is like, America, we all have dogs and love them and would never abandon them and let them die or blah.
Well, I was
so
all
I was
like,
oh, okay.
If you kill that dog, I will never forgive you. You don't kill the dog. You just don't do it, unless it's Marley and Me, in which I do not watch that movie because I do not want to cry. That was too personal. But it's true.
But yeah, I just had this thought earlier, and I'm just going to revisit it. But when I was thinking about, like, end of the world, aliens are coming, killing us all, stationed over big cities, like, my favorite instance of that, and I've mentioned this before, is the classic radio drama War of the Worlds. It's done excellently. Like, I literally felt fear listening to that radio episode, and it came out in the 30s, and I knew it was fake, and I was still like, wow, this is so creepy, and I would definitely be freaking out if I heard this when it was broadcasted in the 30s. I think it does a way better job of, like, post-apocalyptic or, I don't know, alien invasion creepiness than Independence Day, but, like, Orson Welles is kind of a genius, so, like, that's a thing. It's the same dude who made Citizen Kane, so, like... And that was pretty groundbreaking at the time. Even though I'm not, like, too crazy about Citizen Kane, like, I get it. Like, they did some crazy, awesome things, groundbreaking things with that movie. But, yeah, I don't know. Just compare... I was always, like, you know, in my head comparing this film to other similar things I've seen before, like War of the Worlds. Like, how did War of the Worlds do it better? Because they totally did. Like, it just... I was just much more emotionally invested... And, like, terrified and stuff, listening to that. And, like, that was an audio radio drama. It was, like, there wasn't even a picture to it.
Yeah.
It was all, like, theater of the mind or whatever. But they just, like, I don't want to go into the super, super specific details of, like, what I think they did better than Independence Day. But, you know, I had, like, a similar plot line of, oh... Scientist discovers there's aliens coming from the moon, because it's always the moon, coming from the moon to Earth. They're gonna attack. They're attacking right now. And then, like, everyone's fleeing and going crazy. And, you know, then they have to... Maybe we should do a War of the Worlds episode, man. But there's no POC in that. Oh, whatever. They're all, like, theater of the mind. But anyway.
If you imagine
totally them, went off on a tangent there.
It's POC. They are.
Yeah. Somehow I doubt it because it was the 30s. But anyway, I totally went on a total tangent there. But, I guess
it's hard to kind of compare this movie to other things which are in the sci-fi genre, because this movie did not care about being in the sci-fi genre. And it's almost
very true.
An aside. Like, all of the science fiction is an aside in this movie.
Yeah, it was, like, I guess that's, like, the really weird part about it. Want to be there.
And it's just kind of there by default, by necessity.
Yeah, because it's classified as a sci-fi action film. But I think it is. And it's not even, I wouldn't even call it, like, super action-y.
I wouldn't really
like,
call it that action-y either. It relies a lot on kind of lighthearted humor in a very desperate situation, which I think characterizes a lot of modern blockbusters. Where they have like this.
I feel
really
like modern blockbusters do it better.
Oh yeah, I mean, but I can't like I don't want to hate on it because
I see what you mean. Like I don't hate this film. No, I don't even think it's like I don't even think it's a bad film. I just think it could have been better.
Yeah,
is all.
They did have a few moments that I did like really like. I really liked that. I think it was the newscaster who said. Don't fire your guns at the spaceship.
Oh, yeah. That was my favorite
like,
line, too. I wrote
that's
it down.
Fantastic.
Yes, yes. Oh, no. I can't believe he delivered that line with a straight face. Okay, I wrote it down. You may inadvertently trigger an interstellar war. And I was like, that is amazing. I can't believe he said that with a straight face. Like, that is totally something someone would say on, like, Welcome to Night Vale in, like, a completely deadpan tone. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you may inadvertently trigger an interstellar war.
Exactly.
Like, it was so... that was fantastic. I wrote it down. That line was fantastic.
It was pretty good.
Like, I was like, I need more stuff like this in the film, like, to keep me entertained. Seriously. Yeah. Oh, another moment I really liked in the film was when Will Smith steps outside of his home. I know his character's name is, like, Steven or something, but I'm going to call him Will Smith. When Will Smith steps outside of his home and, like, is, like, kind of, like... picks up the paper, looks around at all the people, all his neighbors, like, you know, frantically packing. And it's, like, very, like, shallow. It's very shallow of the field, so, like, the neighbors are all blurred. Then he looks up at the sky and notices that. And I think the audio also got a little bit fuzzy there. And then Vivica A. Fox, Jasmine, what's-her-face, is, like, behind him and comes out. And it's, like, oh, my gosh. Like, I thought that scene of, like, realization was done really, really well, and I really like that. I just really, really like that scene. Especially when, like, we know what's going on, but, like, just seeing, Will, like, it just dawn on Will Smith. It's, like, what's happening? I mean, I have... Oh, another thing with Will Smith... the line that Jasmine says to him is, like, something like, you're not as charming as you think you are. And he's like, but I am. Or something like that. And I was like, classic Will Smith. Like, he knows he's super charming and charismatic. Like, you can't lie. Like, it's Will Smith. I don't know. I have more notes about other stuff. So if you want to just interject.
I don't know. Like... so much of this movie was, it's okay. A lot of this movie is extremely predictable, like not like unflinchingly so. Like I'm almost embarrassed about the movie. Like come on, like when Jasmine,
Area 51 and
not even that. When Jasmine goes and talks to her other friend about not going to the rooftop.
Oh, and then she goes.
And I was like, we all know what's happening here. We don't even need like. This is so... Stop it. Stop it. I'm
almost
embarrassed
for you. I can't believe she bought it,
too.
Yeah, and I was embarrassed for her that she actually thought that her friend was not going to go. I was like... She literally was, like, looking off to the side and, like, gave the most, like, non-committal, like, okay, I'll follow, I'll listen to you. Like, girl...
I mean, like, in the scheme of things, like, it doesn't really matter because she probably would have died anyway. Yes.
True.
So... come on, there was no point to that even so. But it was just, I don't know, it was just so, like, annoyingly obvious, just completely transparent. there were pieces of the film which I, it's kind of hard for me to see whether it's transparent, because I feel like it's a movie that is so kind of ingrained into pop culture that, like, I knew a lot of the stuff which was going to be happening. So that's just a familiarity. Like, it's hard to judge it without knowing all that stuff. Do you know what I mean?
I went in not knowing much about the film, except that there was some kind of big speech done by one character. Yeah. And, I mean, I kind of assumed that we were going to win because, like, it's just that kind of film.
Yeah.
I had a lot of problems with, like, random plot things, too. Like, why did David not mention the six-hour countdown to his, like, ex-wife? Like, when he's on the phone with her? Like, for the first time.
Yeah.
Like, could it, like, he's just like, oh, listen to me, this is super important. Like, I hate that. I hate that when characters do that thing where they're like, I have something super important to tell you, blah, 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 blah. No, I don't have time for this, cut you off. And, like, you could have just said it.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, let me ramble on for, like, 10 minutes before I tell you the important thing that I want to tell you. And then, you know, they lost a plane, right? The very first time they sent a plane to go check out the spaceship.
Yeah.
That plane was blown up, and they still sent another plane out there. Okay, that was stupid. And then later on, we figured out the whole deflector shield thing, and then I was like, these people think that an atomic bomb is gonna, like, they have shields. Didn't they just, they know they have shields. They're still gonna set off an atom bomb in Houston, or whatever, or was it Dallas?
It was Houston.
And I was just like,
as in, Houston, we have a problem.
We really do have a problem. And I was just like, what? Why?
I mean, I guess they think that it's powerful enough to break through their shields. I mean, we all knew it wasn't going to work, so, but, you know, so it goes.
Yeah. Also, the movie would have been a lot shorter runtime. That would have been done pretty quick.
Yeah.
And then, like, yeah, I guess that's, we were talking this before, like, the whole, it wasn't, I feel like it's okay to have a lot of characters as long as they're, like, an ensemble, but it wasn't even, like, an ensemble. It was just, like, random people doing random things on their own until, like, the very, very, very end. They all kind of come together-ish. But I was just like, I need more cohesion or connectedness or something. Like, Sensei or Heroes or, like, there's different people, but at least they're connected somehow. Like, there was no connections.
Yeah.
It was just super, super random.
It's really hard to do a good story like that.
Yeah. Especially in a movie.
Yeah, and I don't think they did it. I think there was just too many characters. They just, God.
Yeah, I have so many issues with this. Like, why didn't they just shut off those freaking satellites that are broadcasting the signal? Like, are those satellites really super duper necessary? Just shut out the satellites.
Yellow swag.
Right? Or, also, like, why is that these aliens with super advanced capable technologies, the best thing they can do is, like, shoot these fireball things that will incinerate? Like, they don't have A-bombs or H-bombs? Like, you're telling me they don't have that stuff? Like, for real? They are capable of, like, interstellar travel, but they don't have nuclear power. Okay. Like, it was really, my suspense of disbelief was getting, like, really up there, man. Because I was just like,
Maybe, this is giving the movie way too much credit, but maybe the whole thing is that, you know, like, they go to different planets to, like, consume their natural resources or whatever. So if they used an atom bomb, they would destroy the resources they want to consume, maybe?
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. That's a good point.
I mean, they never that's say that. Point. I'm just making crap up.
Yeah, but that's still more plausible than anything the movie gave us. Yeah, and in that sense, like, it's, like, it's kind of a similar plot line to, like, Pacific Rim, right? Because the aliens are coming to take your natural resources. Yeah. Randomly, some, like, the director throws in some random references to environmentalism for some reason. Apparently, this director, Emmerich really likes to do that stuff too. Because, you know, like, the random stuff he talked about recycling for, like, 2 seconds, like, really weird. Yeah,
it was,
like,
the '90s.
It's a director's fault. I mean, I still think recycling is
no, no, it is, but well, okay, here's something that I wrote, and this is exactly what I was saying before. it's a story about us. It's a story about humanity. It's not a story about aliens. Sci-fi by necessity.
Yeah, it's like sci-fi, but like just barely. It's not really much of a sci-fi film. Well, I guess the podcast is over. Yeah, just kidding.
Kind of.
I mean, yeah, I still want to nitpick about some other things.
I'm not done. But we're close.
I think that's why we both kind of, you liked it more than I did. I think that's why I'm kind of just about it. Because I'm just like, it had like vestiges of sci-fi, but like it wasn't really a true sci-fi film.
You know what was good about this film?
What?
Is that people had really good like facial reactions to news or to like things happening. Like it was perhaps a tad too comical. But like when the president finds out about Area 51, he just makes like a seriously face, and like it's like everyone being so done is just really amusing.
Yeah.
And like people are just,
yeah,
it continues to like pass the line of acceptable, like
overacting. I don't know if it was overacting.
I wouldn't call it overacting. I would just call it acting. No, that was a joke. I just had to say that. I still wouldn't call it overacting. It just was like comical reaction shots where like you're getting news which is so unbelievable, like if you were like a regular person living in the world, that they had to make like funny faces to react to such incredible news. And it was just funny. I don't know. People,
yeah,
like are just so done. Like, yeah. I don't know, maybe halfway through the film.
A lot of the characters have that, like, they're just like, done. Remember the, David's boss, like the guy who's like, I need to call my mom or whatever to get to Atlanta. Like, he was so done. When he saw that fireball heading his way, he was like, oh, crap. And then it just consumes him. But, like, he wasn't even panicking. He was just like, I'm done.
Yeah.
But, yeah, speaking of the different characters, I feel like the more interesting thing to talk about would be, like, who's who. Like, honestly. Will Smith, we all know and love. He's, like, super big. Probably not as big as he used to be in the 90s. But, you know, we know who he is. He's good name brand recognition.
Yeah, he's the father of the Smith children.
That's his thing now.
That was a joke.
Let's see. I think maybe Internet Movie Database would be more helpful than this Wikipedia article. Why did I delete it? Whatever. The guy who I mentioned just before, the TV guy who was like had that weird scratchy voice and was like, I need to go like tell my mother to like go to my aunt's house in Atlanta or whatever. He played Yao in Mulan.
I did know that.
Yeah. Who else? The guy playing the scientist with the long, scraggly gray hair.
Yeah.
Was Data from the new Star Trek: The New Generation. I totally did not recognize him. He seemed kind of familiar, but I was like, "Oh, you're the android character." Did not figure that out at all until reading about it. Who else?
I feel like a lot of this movie was like a 90s who's who.
Yeah, that's like the fun part, right? Wasn't the guy, I saw there was one dude who was in Serenity who was in this film.
I don't remember.
I wish I had the Internet Movie Database page open up instead of Wikipedia. Thanks a lot, Wikipedia. Thanks, Obama. But after this election, we can't really say thanks to Obama anymore, can we? Unless we talk about results. We can still say it, but it won't have that same impact. Let's see. Independence Day, 1996. All right, let's see. So, we have... So Adam Baldwin played Major Mitchell. And who did he play in Serenity? He played... Come on. He played Jane in Serenity? I don't know if that means anything to you.
No, it does. I did know that. I just forgot that I knew that. Not like I forgot. When I was watching the movie, I was like, oh, it's nice to see you. But that was last night. That was a long time ago.
Whatevs. Yeah. Anyway, let's get. Yeah.
The way that I like, so often, movies have like trios, like, who balance each other out, you know?
We talked about this too. Yeah.
So, like,
the heart, the brain. Yeah. And, like, the, I guess, like, the in-between, whatever the in-between would be.
Yeah, so, like, the way that I was sort of, yeah, well, that too, but I like describing it with, like, characters that I know. So, like, I call it the Luke, Han, Leia, or, like, the Harry, it's Ron, Hermione.
It's the Kirk, Spock, and McCoy.
Right, exactly. It's all,
it's the id, same. Ego, and, it's the id, ego, and super ego.
Yes.
Although I can never remember which one is which, but, you know. No, it is the one that's, like, very much about, like, it is the heart, I think. Superego, I think it's either superego or ego is, like, the smart one. And then the reigning one is, like, the middle person. The leader, or the whatever, leader who can balance it. The balance can, that can balance the two. So, like, Ron's the heart, Hermione's the brains, and Harry's, like, the middle or whatever.
Yeah. So, like, I wrote this. President is the everyman Luke. Will Smith is the cool Han. And don't worry, there are no ladies here. I mean, we, you know, the third edge is David.
Jeff Goldblum's character, David.
No, who is the brains.
Is Leia supposed to be the brains? I'm confused.
I think.
In her trio?
I would call her the brains. Yeah. Yeah. She's in, like, a bookish brains, but she's usually the one who knows what the heck's going on.
Fair enough.
But, I mean, I really don't think there's that much to say about this particular thing, but
they don't have that much of a strong triad connection thing going on. Like, it's just kind of like, if anything, it's more like Jeff Goldblum and Will Smith. Like, the president's not really.
Yeah, the president in on it, you know? Doesn't really know Will Smith very well, but. Like, they don't know each other, but they're, like, the strong three characters of the film. Yeah. And they kind of balance each other out, I guess. It's just, like, I'm not hating on this film for this particular point, but, like, where are the ladies at?
Yeah, I was quite disappointed in how women were treated in this film. It wasn't horribly misogynistic or anything, but I don't know if it passes the Bechdel test. And also, I just was, like, not feeling it. I felt like all the women were just, like, either they were, like, more accessories to the male Absolutely. Characters, and it was just very, like, I don't want to say, like, if they disobeyed or didn't listen to their male counterparts that they were punished, because that didn't happen for all the characters, but, like, it happened to, like, enough.
Yeah.
You know, like, the president's wife didn't listen to him, so she dies, and then, like, the other lady gets back with, David or something, even though, because she picked her career, but now she's back with him.
Yeah.
Or whatever. I think the only one who, like, was more independent was, like, Jasmine, I guess, but even Jasmine, like, just randomly get married. Oh, can I say that wedding scene was completely unnecessary? And, like, seriously.
Yeah.
Who has time for a wedding? When the world's about to end. I mean, I get it, but also it's stupid.
I mean, yeah, like, thematically, it makes sense because, like, weddings and marriage and, you know, connectedness is a huge theme of the movie. But, yeah, it was so unnecessary.
And so unnecessary.
I don't know if this is just, like, me reflecting wrongly on it, but, like, divorce was, like, a big 90s thing. And so, like, a lot of the, like, having all of these, like, not broken families, but, like, broken relationships and struggling relationships, I was like, yeah, there's the 90s.
I don't think we've moved past that. I think we're,
the
I
divorce
think we
rate
still.
Is actually lower than it
oh,
was.
Oh, it's lower?
Yeah.
So the 90s was a particularly bad case of divorce rates and stuff?
I believe so. I think that's when it peaked.
Interesting.
But yeah, I think the moment, I mean, like, I realized it the whole film, but the moment that it was just so abundantly clear was the very last, I don't know if it's the very last scene, but At the very end, when
about.
The women
yeah.
just exist
oh,
run
yeah.
into their man's arms. I was like,
ugh, God,
gag me with a
me.
Spoon.
Yeah. I had a similar reaction where I was like, really? That's why they're here? Like,
that's why they exist.
Really? I think the person who did the most, honestly, was Jasmine.
Yeah.
Like, she went and found survivors and brought them to the camp and... Like, that's really cool. She did a lot more than I feel like the other two women did. Like, what the heck was the president's wife doing in, like, L.A. or where? Or, no, she wasn't in L.A., right?
Yeah.
But, like, I was like, what? Like, what is she? She's interviewing people for some stupid thing that's important? Like, I don't get it. And then, like, I mean, even though, I can't remember her name, her character's name, but David's wife or ex-wife or whatever was, like, doing some super important government work, like, and she's on, like, I guess she's a press secretary or something.
Yeah, something like
or
that.
Or some kind of spokesperson. Like, we didn't really see her do much of anything except for be like, oh, David knows what to do. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
That was disgusting. I felt sad for humanity.
You know, things are bad when, like, the freaking exotic dancer has, like, is the most emotionally and complex developed, like, woman in the film.
Yeah.
When you have also a freaking, like, person working for the government and then, like, the president. Like, come on. Mm. Come on.
Yeah. Personally, I'm really bad with faces. So, like, I did not put together that the first lady was the first lady.
Yeah,
like in the beginning,
it was kind of, you could have missed it if you tuned out for a sec. Like, it wasn't very,
like,
explicit
in the beginning. I knew who she was. I was like, oh, that's the first lady, we're definitely coming back to her, because unless you see a character die, they are not dead. And
mm-hmm.
but then, like, the woman who it happens to be the first lady, like, shows up in the middle. Like, I had no idea that was her.
Yeah,
until, like, a little bit later. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, we were just like everyone else. Like, she was like, how did you recognize me? And she's like, yeah, I didn't want to say anything. Like, Jasmine's like, I didn't want to say anything. We were like, oh, thanks for explaining to us who she is, because we totally forgot. Like, seriously.
Like, come on. Like, I don't. Whatever.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's see. What else do I have? I like the canyon scene. And I guess that means
yeah.
when. I mean, here's the thing, right? Fighter, pilots, jets, whatever. Air battles, they're so simple to film and do, yet I enjoy them so much.
They have a good return.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess the easiest is, like, you just strap the actor in some kind of chair with some, like, extra stuff, you know, bounce it up and down, have them record their lines, put a green screen in the back. But, like, it's so simple, yet, like, I haven't seen enough of that, so, like, I got tired of it. So, like, I'm still kind of like, oh, yeah, I like air battles. Like, I like chase scenes. Like, this is good. I don't know. I like a good chase scene, and I thought it was decently done. When Will Smith and the rest of his crew go after
yeah.
the aliens for the first time. I mean, you totally knew the best friend was gonna die, because that's all they're good for is dying.
Thanks.
Seriously. No, I would never. You're not expendable. Or am I the expendable one? I wrote down expendable POCs in my notes. Like, seriously though.
Don't feel like they're expendable POCs. Everyone's expendable in this movie.
That's true. That is very true. I like the canyon scene. When I guess when that one alien ship is I hear a loud airplane, sorry guys, when that one alien ship is after him and they're kind of going through the canyons, kind of like, you know, I guess like Star Wars-y, like flying through narrow spaces and stuff.
Yeah.
I do like fighter jet chase scenes. I don't know. I like that kind of stuff. And then I think there's something else I enjoyed with that scene, but maybe it's further down in my notes. I did think, you know, when everyone started like feeling queasy and like they were gonna throw up, like you had that one kid in remember the crop duster, one of his sons throws up on the side of the road, and then later we get Jeff throwing up when he's on the airplane.
Yeah.
I thought that could have led into some kind of weird, like, bio-warfare alien thing, but I guess that was too complicated and just never came to fruition, if it was ever a thing.
That's cool.
But I thought that could have been, that could have been cool.
That's a cool idea.
But then nothing ever came of it. And then also, when they were like, oh, let's just casually mention that the aliens are freaking, like, telepathic or something. Or, like, have some kind of hive mind. They didn't use the word hive mind, but, like, something like that.
NBD.
And then it was, and then it was like, oh, like, we can somehow, this alien can take over Brent Spiner's character and, like, use him as a voice, as a mouthpiece or something. And then they were trying to get to the president. I was, like, super confused by that because I was like, but, like, how? And also, why didn't they do this before?
Don't.
You know what I mean? Like, I thought it was stupid. Yeah, I
think about it.
It was just too, it was too extra. Like, I would have, the film would have been better if we didn't have that stuff. You know what I mean? But then I was like, oh, the president somehow knows everything that they're going to do because he has access to the mental connection and blah, 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 blah. Like, yes, he did in Pacific Rim, but at least it made sense.
Like, it was, I actually wrote down, I was like, Pacific Rim. But I understand why they did it, because we don't really talk to any aliens, because aliens don't talk. But we don't have any real connection or anything between the humans and the aliens, like, at all. Until the very, very end. And so they're just like, we have to explain why they're here. So that is essentially...
Let's do it last minute in, like, a hack job.
I'm not saying they did a good job. I think they did a really crappy job with that. And it was... They ignored a lot of anything that made sense just so that they could say that. Like, I just didn't understand the logistics of, like, trying to get, like, oh, this alien doesn't have a mouth. It can't speak. But it knows how to make another person speak.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about it that way, but yeah, that's stupid. And also, for aliens that don't have freaking vocal cords, they do seem to make a lot of weird noises and grunts a lot. I mean, what the heck? Like, they definitely have some kind of vocal cords or something, because, like, they're making noises.
Yeah.
So.
I did not like the, like, the dissection scene. Like.
Yeah.
It reminded me of, like, in middle school, we had to dissect a squid.
Ew.
And, well,
actually, that's not that ew.
It is ew.
No, it's not.
It is ew. It smells
better
like
than,
sadness.
It's better than a frog or, like, a sheep's heart.
We also did frogs.
Did you do sheep's heart?
No.
But let me tell you, that was, like, a layer of fat, like an inch thick on those sheep's hearts.
Oh, my God, Maggie.
Triggered?
Triggered. I've been triggered. That sounds nasty. I hate dissection. I had my partner in middle school, she was, like, super into it, which was good, because I was, like, the not into it person. I was the, I'll stand over here and, like, watch the clock person.
Yeah. Are you looking at the clock right now?
No, I just got textual communication.
textual communication. I was like, what? Like, come again?
Come again?
But, yeah. So, the biomechanical suit, because, like, obviously they make it even more gross. They need to make it as gross as possible. Like, they were trying to go for a little, like, horror angle, thriller angle there, and I was like, I did not appreciate that. I was like, okay, guys, like, chill.
I feel like that's a staple of the blockbuster. Like, it...
Yeah.
The blockbuster is a genre in and of itself.
Sure.
It tries to
be
everything.
It's a little mix of everything. Yeah.
Like... I mean, even the modern blockbusters, I mean, it's the problem of trying to excel at everything, you know?
Yeah, you got a little horror, you got a little thriller, you got a little melodrama, got a little action,
but
got a little sci-fi.
In the end, you know...
Can you really excel in all
the
categories?
The master of none, right? Some films do it better than others.
Sure.
Certainly. And I think knowing... kind of more what genre you're in instead of just throwing a mishmash generally works better, but you know,
yeah,
who am
I do
make
like
$100 million, so what can I say?
I enjoy mishmash, but it has to be well executed, you know.
Yes.
And it's often not.
Well, I like when movies do like a few genres mishmashed together. And, like, you get to explore different kind of angles of the genres you're in because...
And you gotta commit. You gotta commit to those
genres, you can't just be like, here's every genre, let's do them all.
Yeah. Let's do horror for, like, this one specific scene and then, like, never go back to it again. Like, okay.
God, this film knew its tropes. Like, when they did, like, they were looking at the glass, I was like... There's going to be a body against this. There's going to be a body against this. It's coming.
Yep. For sure. Oh, one 90s thing I mentioned was I feel like 90s instrumentals or music, they really like their, like, chimes. Because I was definitely hearing a lot of chimes in this musical score. And I was like, ah, yes. Bring me back to the late 90s and early 2000s. Thank you very much. I actually rolled my eyes during the July 4th speech that the president gave. Like, this was a big speech that I kept hearing about. People were like, oh, yeah, that iconic speech. I heard it, and I rolled my eyes because it was so gosh darn American. And, like, I think the name is, like, the whole thing is, like, again, I can't get over how, like, Amerocentric this thing is. Like, independence from, like, the... Why is it called Independence Day? Because of, like, with the holiday? Because it just happens to coincide and America's just gonna happen to be the one to lead the charge or cavalry? But, like, really, we're not... Again, like, you said it in your stupid speech. Like, we're not gaining independence from aliens. They didn't subject us yet. Like, they weren't even going to. They were going to kill us. Like, it's not an Independence Day. Like, Independence Day for all the world instead of just America. Oh, my God, stop. Like... That was so bad. I was just, I liked could not.
You know no. I love, like, my crazy speech cheese. Like, okay, I'll definitely grant you.
When I like speeches that are, like, Jeff Winger speeches. Like, that's more
it
my
was
speech.
A Jeff Winger speech.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
Well, it kind of was, but it wasn't a sarcastic speech. What are you doing?
I can't remember the, whatever. Never mind.
What are you doing with the pencil?
Pencil.
Why did you show it to me? I'm confused.
Because there's the first Jeff Winger speech is him saying, like, if the pencil, I can say that the pencil's name is, like, whatever, Bob, and then I break it.
Oh, and then he breaks it, right?
anyway, that's irrelevant. I liked this speech. I'll grant you that there were pieces of it that didn't make sense. Like, it's not really independence.
No, it's not. You even says that in the speech that it's not. It's from it's like freedom from, like, annihilation, not freedom from, like, subjugation.
You know what? I did not give a crap. I
gave a crap.
Whatever. It was inspirational. Can you imagine Donald Trump giving that speech? That would have been freaking hilarious. That's how I remained entertained through the whole movie, is imagining every scene, but instead of with this president, Donald Trump.
Jesus. I don't want to try to imitate anyone, but, like, I'm so sure someone could do a good, like, take the independence speech, turn it into, like, a Trumpism thing, and, like, record it, and, like, it'd be freaking hilarious.
It would.
Oh, boy. Oh, so the big thing of the day. So I mentioned I was going to go back to the virus, right?
Virus.
So I said, how does a virus done in human code work on alien software? Answer, it shouldn't. Like, how does that make any sense at all? I mean,
they're PC, I guess it's compatible.
I was like, yeah, clearly. I was like, what is their operating system?
Good thing they,
like,
don't have a Mac.
That would have saved them if only they had been early adopters, you know. But I was just like, for real now? Like, I mean, I guess it also doesn't make similarly doesn't make sense that they're just hijacking our satellite system to send, like, code. That doesn't make sense either. So, like, the whole thing's stupid. But I'm just like, at least the sound thing could kind of make a satellite could kind of work. Like, you're telling me an alien OS got hacked by an Earth code
from the 90s?
Sure. From the night, sure, Jan.
Yeah.
Like,
okay, can I just say something?
Seriously.
I say sure, Jan, so much. I
never watched the Brady Bunch ever.
Neither have I, but it's just like, it's such
it's so
a perfect
iconic,
meme of like the head kind of movement and just the whole attitude is perfection.
I wonder if I could find a video clip of it instead of just like a GIF, but I'll try to put that in the notes.
Oh no, yeah, there is. I've watched.
Oh yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, so I didn't mention this before, but I think, again, it's because this was the 90s, they used more practical effects. I mean, they definitely used CGI, you could see it, but...
Don't hate.
Hey, in the 90s, I mean, yeah, CGI in the 90s was kind of like, it was rough, you know, but...
It was a dark time.
And it was just starting, but like, I don't, practical effects, like, you know, when they do real effects of like real cars or whatever, there's definitely a lot of practical effects going on.
I liked those so much.
I do like practical effects. It feels better and it just feels realer. But I was like, give us your oldest RVs and let us trash them.
Give us your bring oldest us your tired RVs. And you're tired. You're broken.
You're poor. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, I wrote it down. Children are such a cheap way to make us care. I did write it down, but I wrote it down on the last page like an hour after I had the thought, which is why I couldn't find it.
Yeah.
Let's see. Pilots are such a... What did I write? Oh, I said pilots are such a fun and easy thing to film, but we talked about that.
You know what was, like, so bad it was good? Or maybe it was so good it was bad? Was Will Smith's entrance in the helicopter when he goes to rescue his... Not fiance. Girlfriend, I guess, at this point. And, like, he... You know, when he descends into the destruction in his helicopter, and the music is just so freaking patriotic and loud and so invested. Like, the music is more invested than I am. And
right? Yeah. That's why I was not feeling... I was like, it's, like, too much, and I just don't care.
But, like...
I was literally just waiting for, like, the movie to end, because I was like, I just can't wait to get this podcast recorded, edited, done with it. I don't have to think about it ever again in my entire life. Like, I know I'm really going in, but, like, I just, like, was, like, it was just so bland. I just, like, was, like, eh.
Yeah, I mean.
What abs. But, yeah, the music was, like, definitely over the top in that scene.
Yeah, or, like, when, I think we mentioned this, but when the first lady dies and, like, the scene after that. Like, the music was just like, oh my god, let me feel something that isn't artificial for, like, 1 second.
Right? And it was like, is mommy sleeping? Like, okay, you need to stop, like, right now.
We are horrible,
like,
people.
Please. But we barely even got to know this character.
No, yeah, like, I did not give a crapio about her dying, which, obviously, why would we? We've seen her for, like, 30 seconds, and... She has
literally
no character traits except that she's married to the president.
Like, yeah. If you want me to make, like,
but the
give us Michelle Obama. Like, then I would be crying. But, like, she ain't no Michelle. So.
I mean, the kid was.
She ain't no Michelle. Let's be real here.
The kid was cute, though. And.
Kid was all right. I think the kid had the best line the kid had was, like, the thing about Letterman. But, like, that was basically it.
Like, I don't know. Like, we mentioned this. Using kids is cheap, but...
So cheap.
Like, it kind of...
I know they got to you. It didn't get to me.
I just... Cute kids, man. Evolution told me to like them, and I have to.
Just her biology, I suppose.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just like... So my last two snarky comments that I wrote in my notes were... Let's just kill off the PST... Hold on. Did I write the... I always get acronyms wrong. So let me make sure. Yeah, no, I got it right. Let's just kill off the PTSD-ridden vet, shall we? He was totally expendable the entire time. And also, don't forget, kids, cigarettes are bad, but cigars are cool. And those are my my final notes for about this film, because I was just so done and, like, wanted to be really snarky. So then I was like, yep, this film... was
yeah. I mean, I guess I just didn't care that much about what is his name, the
see you don't even remember
yeah like, exactly
who people are,
the pilot,
the crop duster
yes.
guy.
I never cared about him at all, and like I guess I cared more about his kids because I have a problem, I guess.
Oh, God, it was so stupid and tired that it was like, oh, you should be proud of your deadbeat dad who did a cool thing before he died. Like, okay, oh, yeah, that my was, God. That was,
don't do that. Don't do that. But, like, we all knew that he was cannon fodder and, like, he wasn't going to live. And that's, I think, my problem with the film more than anything else, more than all these other things that we discussed. You knew who the cannon fodder. That almost everything that happens... There was no
predictable
surprise. It was just so painfully obvious that,
yeah,
like, I didn't even need to watch the film. Like, everything.
I literally was like, I wanted to shut it off. Like, I was like, what? This is so boring.
I wasn't even like.
But I got through it.
I don't know. I wouldn't even call it.
Again, it's not even a bad film. It's just like, it's just so predictable.
I wasn't even like, okay, I was bored, especially by the end. Like, it's too long.
It's so long.
Like, it just was so unsatisfying because a lot of the blockbusters, like, they have these apocalyptic plots and we all know that the world isn't going to end unless it's, like, Cabin in the Woods or something. Spoilers.
Hey, I wanted to watch that film.
Sorry.
Meh.
So
now I know how it ends. Aww.
Sorry.
It's okay. It's Whedon. I should have known it.
But, you know, like, a lot of these movies are apocalyptic movies, but the world never ends. We know that the world will never end because that's just not the movie that we are watching. We know that there's going to be a happy ending. Yeah, a few minor random characters we don't care about may die. That's just a fact of life of these movies. But what's at stake isn't that the world will be saved, because we all know that. What's at stake is how are they going to do it? That's what the question, right. I think, that they're really fundamentally answering is how. And if it's cool
But the
enough,
how isn't interesting, yeah.
Then it can survive. But, yeah, when it's still not interesting, it's already predictable. And I will say, again... Like, I already knew about the computer virus. I already knew some of the plot points because I, you know, it's just in the pop culture lexicon now. But still, every, like, time that it relies on really predictable scenes and just meeting my expectations, if you just meet my expectations, that's not good. Don't do that.
Yeah, like, first rule of storytelling. Like, be interesting.
like,
make it interesting. Don't have it be the same the whole time. Like, have some ups and downs. I don't know. Shake it up.
It's almost better. Not better. But, like, when I finish a movie and I hate it, like, I had a very passionate response to the movie. I'm not saying it's better to hate it than to like it. But, like, there's an... more interesting component of hating a movie.
It's fun to pick apart flaws.
Yeah.
That's why Tinder exists. Just kidding.
I don't think so.
Just kidding. Yeah, totally kidding.
I mean, that's how kind of I use Tinder, TBH.
That's what I mean.
Okay.
I know it's how you use Tinder.
Yeah.
Not how normal people use Tinder.
Yeah. But like at the very end of my notes, I said, TLDR... Computer Science 101 defeats evil super advanced aliens.
Ugh,
like,
jeez.
Okay. That happened.
Yeah. I said, so, like, a while ago I was like, ah, like, and I was gonna, like, interrupt you, but then I was like, no. I'm barely holding on to the thought that I was gonna say. I think it was something like, something you said about, like, oh, like, humanity and how, like, we react to, like, the world ending. There was a podcast I listened to recently. I don't think it was Welcome to Night Vale. I think it might have been Wolf 359 or whatever. But they had a very, like, good quote about, like, the world ending and blah, blah, blah. I'll see if I can find it and put it in the show notes. But, like, it was so clever. It was probably something along the lines of, like, the world's ending, but, like, we just haven't accepted yet or don't know it or, like, something like that. I don't know. Maybe it was Mad Max. I don't know what it is, dude. I'll try to see if I can dredge it from, like, the depths of my brain. But, yeah, I don't know. I guess by 2016, like, the whole apocalyptic scene is getting very tired, and maybe that's why we're just kind of like, eh, whatever about it. Because like dystopians are done all the time. Like, so much dystopian literature and film and TV out there. Like,
yeah, I mean,
we've come up with so many different ways to tell stories about the end of the world, you know?
Yeah, I think a lot, maybe some of the flaws is that that didn't make any sense. What was I gonna say?
Some of the flaws of what, like post-apocalyptic stuff?
Oh. I think some of the flaws of movies that rely heavily on shocking you with visuals is that they become outdated relatively quickly in this.
Because the visuals get better.
Yeah. And, like, it's not that I'm not hating on, like, the visuals or the CGI or anything. Because I think, you know, for the time I watched and I was impressed. Not, like, super impressed. Like, calm down. But, you know, it was sufficient. It was fine. But the things that we see, even in, like, really crappy movies, I wouldn't say that they're better than this because I don't think they are. But it's just when a film relies on, you know, being visually stunning as one of its main selling points.
But it wasn't even that, I mean, parts of it were stunning, but, like, it wasn't really that stunning.
Well,
I can think of Terminator and, like, that was super cool. Like, that liquid mercury Terminator coming out of the, like forming and reforming. Like, that was visually cool, dude. Matrix, even that was outdated, like, that had some visually cool stuff. Like, I don't know if I would really call Independence Day visually exciting. I know there was a lot of different visual stuff going on that might have been groundbreaking, but, like, I don't know. Let me check out what years The Matrix and Terminator, the second Terminator came out.
I don't know the other second Terminator. I think The Matrix was 98.
Let's see. The Matrix, 1999.
Okay, I was close.
So, okay, it's like 3 years, and then 3 years after, and then Terminator 2, Judgment Day, because that's the only one I've seen. That was 91. Okay, there's no excuse. That was 91, and even though, like, obviously it wasn't, like, perfect, and you could see how it wasn't as, like, you know, advanced as, like, today's CGI, like, Terminator 2 that came out in 91, like, they had some pretty cool visual stuff going on there. I don't know if you've seen it.
I haven't.
But, like, you have, like, a liquid metal man in there who's trying to kill you and does, like, I don't know. And there's, like, other stuff going on visually. Like, they have, like, a whole, well, spoiler alert, but they have, like, a whole, like, atom bomb dream sequence thing.
Yeah.
Which is, like, super well done. Like, so well done, like, people who actually, like, scientists were like, this is, like, actually how it would go down. But anyway, yeah, I don't know. I know you said you liked it more than I did. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to, like, drag down your, like, you know, drag you down to, like, saying, like, oh, it was, like, bad or anything.
No,
like, I don't want to invalidate what you're saying or anything.
No, I don't think, you know, it was bad. I think it was good for what it was. I mean, there were pieces of it that I was unhappy with, definitely. But, I don't know, against the measure of time, I think it's a, you know, it's significant for what it did to the blockbuster and, you know, really transforming summer blockbuster, really kind of kicking off another kind of, like, CGI apocalyptic era. A lot of movies like that came after it.
Right.
And, you know, I think it's easy to kind of look back in judgment now, but at the time...
Sure, sure.
Like, if I had seen this, obviously I was 3, but if I had seen it, like, as a teenager at the time, I think I would have, you know, I would have been relatively satisfied with it.
Yeah. I think it'd be interesting to compare, say, like, Pacific Rim to Independence Day and see, like, what story beats and plot points match up, because I feel like quite a few of them do.
Yeah.
You know? Having your two heroes who may or may not be there, like, alive at the end, and, like,
Yeah, that's
these
true.
Monsters are trying to like take our resources and like random environmentalism plot that's like completely shoehorned in and like you know, like all sorts of like wacky things. Like there's definitely differences, right? Like we get more of a scientist in Pacific Rim than we ever do in this movie. We just get like this one eccentric dude who's like has crazy hair and is like yeah. I don't even know.
I do have another point though.
Yeah, what's another point?
Well, actually two. First, they actually say we're in when they he uploads the virus or he gets
oh,
in
god.
And
he
says, we're in and I'm just like
oh god.
I was so happy that he said it.
But you wanted him to say
I
it.
I was like, please do the thing, and he did the thing. And the second point is that I really, you know, I felt bad for Will because they kept firing at him, and so I felt really bad.
Who kept firing at him?
Everyone. Because they were just like, fire at Will!
I hate you so much! You are actually the worst.
I've waited the entire podcast to make that joke.
Oh my god.
Every time someone says fire at Will, I'm like, poor Will.
Oh my. I hate you. I hate you. Oh my god. Anyway.
Hi, Brock.
What? Did you say hi to your dog again?
Yeah, because I was laughing, so he came in and saw what was up.
Yeah, I could hear him. He was, like, reacting when you started doing your seal laugh or whatever. There it is again. I swear to God, my laugh changes based on who I hang out with, so my laugh did not used to sound like a seal laugh. It sounded more like a rooster, but now it sounds more like a seal, and I kind of hate you for it. But maybe seal's better than rooster, so I don't know. Oh, boy. Anyway.
That's all.
That is all. That's all, folks. But, yeah, so, you know, thanks for listening to us today. I would say if you liked our podcast as much as I hated this movie, I think you should consider leaving a review for us on iTunes, because that'd be, like, super cool, and we can get more views. Or, I guess, more listens, not more views. And, like, please email us your suggestions, because right now we're just, like, picking random movies, and some of them aren't even sci-fi movies, like the one we just did. So give us suggestions. I don't know, what kind of weird sci-fi movies do you know of that have POC leads who, like, don't show up, like, you know, more than 20 minutes into the film? Because, like, I don't know. I didn't know where Will Smith was for most of this film. So... Send us suggestions.
It was a little weird.
It was weird. I was just like, what is going on? Where are the POC? Where are they? I mean, we did get, you know, Will Smith's family, but that was pretty much it. But yes, we need, I mean, you could tell us to do more Will Smith films and we'll probably do it, but send us suggestions, guys. Email us. We're at SF in Color. Sorry, we're at SF in Color. Sorry. I thought I said the whole name. Yeah. sfincolor@gmail.com. You can also hit us up on Tumblr, on Facebook, on Twitter. I don't know. I think that's all the platforms we have, right? Yeah. We're not adding any more. We don't have an Instagram because we do not want to show our ugly mugs to the rest of the world. Just kidding.
Speak for yourself.
Hey, my mug is fantastic.
I have a mug right here.
As do I. Clink. But yeah. Give us reviews. Support the show. I don't know. We don't have PayPal yet, so I guess you can't support us. But I don't know. Give us reviews and, I don't know, share the podcast with your friends and fam. I don't know why I'm rambling about this. I'm just really happy that we're not talking about Independence Day anymore. So there's that. I guess we're going back to Sense8. Next week, aren't we?
Yay.
So, IRL, we haven't actually watched it in a really long time. So, it should be interesting to see how episode 8 turns out. episode 8 of Sense8. But we do have episode 7 recorded, ready to go. So we will talk to you next week. See you later.
Bye-bye.